Oh, good morning, everyone, and welcome. I can say welcome to All Nations Christian Fellowship and our Sunday morning service, or I can say welcome to 2026. Another year that's passed, another year that has commenced. Our first Sunday of 2026, and a happy new year to you all. Or I can also say blessed new year to you all. I can say a merry new year, a merciful new year, a graceful new year. However you want to hear it, I hope God's richest blessings on you this year as a church, and that you are to experience more and more of the goodness and the mercy of God throughout the year, and that you would come to know him more and more intimately and more in relationally closer to him, that it is everything that your heart desires when it comes to your faith. And I pray that God's blessing is upon you. There's so much to be thankful for, so many things to be thankful for. If you are here for the first time, we are thankful for this, that you've come. You've been invited to come along and to hear God's word this morning and to worship, and we are thankful for that. When you think about the past year, I hope that you can think of something that you can be thankful for, that you can go into 2026 being thankful for something that's happened. I know it's hard. There are lots of things that happen and that are hard in life and challenging in life, and sometimes they feel way, way heavier than all the good things that are happening in life. And I understand that. But I hope this morning you can still think of something that you can be thankful for as you move into the new year. Perhaps there's many things that you can be thankful for as you come into the new year. But it's good to give thanks. It is good to give thanks. It's a good thing how God's designed us to be thankful in our lives. And you know, I can be thankful for you as a church. You know, there are so many people in this room this morning that truly and genuinely put their hand to the plow to volunteer their service to the Lord and to his kingdom. So many of you that are sitting just among us this morning who don't look for recognition, who don't look for any status, who don't want to be acknowledged in any way, but you continually put your hand to the plow and serve your brothers and sisters and in the background and in other things and even openly sometimes, but you continue to serve. And I am incredibly grateful for the many people who just continue to do this because they do it unto the Lord. Yeah, they're doing it unto the Lord. They're not doing it for the sake of people thanking them. They're doing it because they love God. And I'm incredibly thankful for that. I'm incredibly thankful that very soon, I think it's in the next year or two, it's something like 40 years that the Lord has sustained us as a church. I mean, that's crazy, you know, to think. Well, it's not crazy when you think it's God, but it's just wonderful to think how God's continued to sustain us and protect us as a church over these nearly 40 years or so that he's been good to us. And boy, we haven't had a lot as a church. We haven't had a lot in terms of things and stuff as a church. You know, we've moved around a lot over the 40 years. We've been from place to place, little rooms, big rooms, scout halls, table tennis clubs, swimming centres. You know, we've moved around a lot as a church. And God sustains us. God sustained us these 40 years. And now we meet here. And we meet here in this fellowship. Until, who knows, the Lord might have other plans for us as we need to find places and venues and talk things as we do, as the elders often talk about what does it mean for us in the years to come and what space do we, just a space conversation, you know. But again, we continue to believe and trust in a God who provides in that. So there's so many things to be thankful for. But what better way to start this year than to start with Jesus? You know, what better year? And if you come into 2026 knowing that you're on the side of Jesus, that you are with him, walking with him, that you come, then you come into 2026 in the safest possible way, because you come surrounded by him, and that is the best way to start. I'm going to share with you today just a couple of thoughts. It's not going to be long. I want to share with you, well, I shouldn't say that actually. I suspect it's not going to be long. I want to share with you a couple of thoughts this morning that I think will help kickstart our year. Things that I think that have been on my heart that I think is really important that we remember as we start a year. Let's pray. We're going to open up, when we finish praying, we're going to open up Psalm 136. We're going to read from a couple of passages from 136, and then we're going to go to Romans 12 before the end of this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for 2026. Thank you for your mercy and your grace that is upon us. We are so in debt to who you are and what you've done for us, Lord. We are thankful. We are thankful in the midst of all our challenges. We are thankful in the midst of all our pain. We are thankful because you are God and you are good. And Lord, we come this morning not with a proud or arrogant heart. We come knowing and humbly knowing that you are God and you go before us. And so, Father, in all our thankfulness and what you've done for us, in all our challenges that are before us, and all our goals that we have for this year, we just want to stop for a moment. We want to pause and think of you and remember you, Lord, and what your word has to tell us. So, Father, we pray, open our hearts and to remember that as we go into this year with Jesus as Lord and Savior, we go with the greatest confidence, Father. And so we pray you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you open up your Bible to Psalm 136, if you've got your Bible with you, we're just going to go through a few of these verses and you'll see why I've chosen this chapter in a moment. But as you've been in this church long enough, you would know that many times when you hear messages on a Sunday morning or you hear a message on a Thursday or on a Tuesday or on other times, when you hear something shared, often what happens is this. You hear a different type of message, or it's spoken about in a different way, or a different story, and you hear something that is different usually from week to week, and then you'll hear usually, or hopefully you'll hear something in that message that is still the same, that doesn't change, and that's really important, because our God doesn't change. Our God isn't a God who decides that, 2025, this was the way to do it. 2026, I've made a different way to do it, God doesn't change like that. His way for us, His hope for us, His purpose for us, His calling in our lives remains the same. And this has been the same from eternity, I suppose, but particularly since the Lord Jesus Christ came on this earth. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose to conquer sin and death. And now He's given us a message of hope. And that doesn't change. That doesn't change. Even though messages can change all the time. And different stories, we share different stories with you. And so this morning, I want to share with you something that I want you to think about all the things that you hope to achieve in the year. So you might be planning certain things, which is good. Plans are good. You might be wanting to see change in your own life in certain areas, and that's good because change is good as well. You probably want to grow in certain areas. You probably want to see yourself growing in particular areas, hopefully spiritually more than anything else. You want to see yourself growing in certain areas. That's good. Growth is good. You'll have plans. You'll have growth ideas. You'll have things that you'll set out to do, goals for yourself that you want to do. Do those things. That's good. But in doing all those things, I want you to pause and remember this morning, some things can't change. Some things have to stay the same. Some things we want to be steadfast and remain faithful in. They have to stay the same. So in all the changes that you want to make this year, and all the growing you want to do this year, and all the plans that you have this year, and all your ambitions and opportunities that you want, I want to remind us this morning of some things that just can't change. And we've got to hold on to them very, 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 very tightly. A bit like an axle and a wheel of a car, That wheel is moving, and sometimes it moves slow and sometimes it moves very, very fast. But it's hanging on to something that's not moving at all. That axle has to stay steady. If that axle doesn't stay steady, my goodness, there's problems for that car. That axle's steady. It's steady and it's fixed. So on that axle can be wheels that go as fast as they want to go because something is remaining steady. Does that make sense? And so there's something that has to be steady. There's something that has to be fixed. There's something that has to remain the same, and something that we need to hold on to be steadfast. So the first thing I want to share with you this morning, there's only two things I want to share with you this morning. The first thing I want us to all remember this year and be encouraged to be remembered this year is this, is that we need to be steadfast in our understanding and in our acknowledgement and in our dependency on the mercy of God. On the mercy of God. I want to explain why I say that in a moment. But look at Psalm 136. Remain steadfast in our need for the mercy of God. This whole psalm is dedicated to the mercy of God, or the unconditional love of God, maybe even perhaps the covenant promise of God. But what it really is, it's basically God's way of telling his people, I want you to remember that in everything that happens in life, it happens because God is merciful. Do you understand that? Because God is merciful. And so it goes through verse after verse as a really healthy reminder to us all that you'll have this happen and you'll have this happen, you'll experience this, you'll experience that, but remember that his mercy endures forever. Because there is something significant in understanding that when we go into a new year, we don't go into the new year thinking that we are at the center of everything that's going to happen this year. We go into a new year firstly remembering that it's by his mercy we are even here. True? And it's by his mercy that we will be sustained throughout the year. In fact, I believe it takes a very, very brave person, extremely brave person, naive too, but brave person to go into 2026 and say, I can do it without the mercy of God. Without the mercy of God. And so this psalm here is a repetition, probably somewhat liturgical. What they would do as a nation, probably the priest would get up in the temple and he would make a statement and then the people would respond, for his mercy endures forever. And it goes through a range of things. It goes through creation. It goes through their captivity as a nation, God's deliverance of them as a nation, his sustenance of them in the wilderness, and then his being able to land them in their promised land, and then his ongoing protection of them. So there's this beautiful reminder, this beautiful snapshot over some 20-something verses of what God did to his people as a reminder to them that what he did, he will continue to do. And so the psalmist says it like this. And I want to just point out a few to show you how beautiful this verse is. I'm not going to speak about them, but I want to just highlight them to you. So look, Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. He talks about the goodness of God. He starts off and says, God is good. Give thanks to him. God is good. And remember, his mercy endures forever. Look at verse 4. It says, to him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. So he's a God that's good, and he's a God that is able and does wonderful things. A God of wonders. Amazing things. In fact, the Bible says things that are beyond what we even can imagine. That's who God is. Because we claim and declare him as holy or unique or separate from everything else. He's not like humans. He doesn't act like a human. He doesn't behave like a human. He's God. And so we don't want to create God in the image of man, because man was created in the image of God. And so we think about him and we understand him as God. So he's a God who's good. He's a God who does wonders. Oh, why? Because his mercy endures forever. Verse 11, and he brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. So God was good. He did wonderful things. And even when they found themselves in trouble, even when they found themselves in slavery, even when they found themselves in pain and captivity, the psalmist says, and remember, he brought them out. He took them out. He delivered them. He set them free. Why? Because his mercy endures forever. He didn't say after 20, 30, 100, 400 years, I've had enough, I can't do this, God doesn't think in terms of time. He thinks of your soul. He thinks of our soul. He thinks, where does our soul need to be? And so this season is shaping us for something because He considers the soul of man and woman. He doesn't consider time as such. And so here is God's people in captivity for many, many years of suffering and pain, and He delivers them because His mercy endures forever. Look at verse 16. And to Him who led His people through the wilderness. And so now He has the opportunity for 40 years to take them through the wilderness, to feed them, to make sure they're clothed. The Bible says that even the shoes on their feet did not wear out. Not a bad brand, hey? Even the shoes of their feet did not wear out. He fed them daily. He nurtured them, sustained them. Why? Because His mercy endures forever. Verse 21, and He gave their land as a heritage, the very promise that they would inherit this land that would be theirs, that we know today is Israel. That today they would, sorry, that they would then inherit that they would claim it, that it would be theirs, it would be the promised land. Why? Because His mercy endures forever. And then verse 24, He didn't stop there. Sure, He delivers them, He settles them, and now He continues to rescue them. Verse 24, and He rescued us from our enemies because they were the target of many attacks. As are the people of God today. They are the target of many, many different types of attacks. Sure, it may not be always as they experienced it, but surely it definitely is in different ways. And He goes, He continues to rescue them from this. Whatever enemy, particularly the enemy who we know as the devil, He continues to rescue them from their enemies. Why? Why does He continue to do this? Why is He long-suffering and patient like this? Why does He say, oh, here's another... Sorry, He doesn't say it like that, but why does He say another attack and says, I've got their back? Why does He do that? Because His mercy endures forever. And then verse 26, oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, and returns to the start of that psalm. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Why do we give thanks? For His mercy endures forever. It's beautiful. It's like now I could read through this psalm, and this would be our church service. I'd read through this psalm. I would read the start of the psalm, and all of you would say, "For His mercy endures forever," and that'd be enough. That'd be enough for the start of 2026. We would understand, and we would be embedded in our minds and our hearts, that the reason why we even are here today, and the reason why we can have some sort of confidence and assurance as we move into a whole new year, which is really an unknown, is because we've experienced, we've lived, we've had happen to us many things that God reminds us, for His mercy endures forever. And because it is forever, it does not stop. And because it does not stop, we are confident that it goes into another year with us. So it takes a very, very brave and courageous man or woman to say, I can go into 2026 without His mercy. It becomes the very hub, if you like, the very axle, if you like, of all the wheels that are rolling and moving this year, to understand and pause and say that I must remain steadfast in my dependency and my understanding and in my need for the mercy of God. It's like this. It's like if we were to pray this morning a very simple prayer before you leave this place, Lord, have mercy. And that would be enough. Lord, have mercy. And that would be enough. Because I don't know about you, but for me, when I say, Lord, have mercy, I know exactly what I'm saying. Because there are so many things in my life that could go wrong. There are so many things in my life that I got my hands to that I could, if I'm not careful, make them go wrong. And so I prayed, Lord, a very simple prayer. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. It's the beginning of our story, isn't it? Every one of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ understands that that's the very beginning of our story. If you were to write a book about your life, chapter 1, somewhere in chapter 1, would have to be about the mercy of God. The very start of how you came to know Him. The very beginning of what life was really for, how life really began for you. In Titus, the Bible says that He saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. Do you understand that? He saved us for this reason. The beginning of our story was because God chose not all the righteous things you did or we did. He didn't look at us and think, wow, what an incredibly beautiful, wonderful, righteous people. He goes, He saw us, and the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it began, our whole story began because of God's mercy. Our whole story must continue because of God's mercy as we go into our year, our opportunities this year, our challenges this year, our temptations this year. Whatever they are going to be needing God's mercy. Hebrews 4 says this, let us therefore come boldly, where? To the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you understand that? Do we understand that? The apostle, the writer is telling us that we have to come boldly to the throne of grace. This is God's got a throne. He calls it the throne of grace. And he says you need to come with confidence to the throne of grace this year. Because in that place of humility, because you can't come to the throne of grace proudly, because God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So we come to this throne humbly. And in coming to this throne, when we are tempted to find other ways to live life, and we are tempted to do things that we know are going to hurt us and hurt other people, and we are tempted to sin against our God. We are tempted in all these ways. God says, come to the throne of grace, because there you find mercy and grace to help in time of need. So you enter into this year knowing that it was the mercy of God that allowed it. Your whole life began because of God's mercy, and now we are encouraged to come boldly to the throne of grace so you keep getting this mercy. Does that make sense? Lord, have mercy. The Bible is full of these examples where we're reminded that without this, we would be somewhat lost, abandoned, on our own. But the writers understand in the scriptures that we are so dependent on His mercy that it goes before us and it follows us. Yes, Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and mercy shall do what? Follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah, Psalm 23 verse 6. And so what God is saying is this, all of God's mercy, it goes before me, it follows me, it's like it surrounds me, it's everything. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The psalmist understood that he can't go without God's mercy following, and let alone does he want to go without God's mercy following him. So our humble recognition, acknowledgement that we cannot afford to go into this year thinking that we go somewhat alone and that somehow we're going because we are in control of it. Rather, we say, Lord, have mercy. Go and plan. Go and set your goals. Go and grow. Go and do the things that you want to do. But remember, the thing that has to be steadfast is this deep, deep acknowledgement that it's the mercy of God that will sustain us throughout the year. And that's really significant as we continue to look at the scriptures and see what happens. And so Psalm 86 also says, be merciful to me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. And if you want to look at another psalm that talks a lot about God's mercy, Psalm 86 is like that, and you can read that throughout the week. But Psalm 86 continues to refer to God. I'm calling out to you. I'm calling out to you, God, be merciful to me. I'm relying on you, God, be merciful to me. Lord, I need you, be merciful to me. And so this whole idea that he understands just how much God's mercy is important. Now, something miraculous happens. Listen carefully. Something miraculous happens when we live like this. Something crazy happens that Christians begin to be known for. When we live with this deep conviction and understanding that we cannot exist without the mercy of God, something incredibly beautiful happens. We become people of mercy. Do you understand? It's a miracle. We become merciful people. How does a man or a woman who has tasted and experienced and lived under the mercy of God then no longer be able to show that to someone else? It's impossible. We become very merciful people. Think about who you were in 2025. Were you a merciful person? Were you known as someone who was full of mercy? Someone who showed mercy? Someone who was quick to be merciful? Someone who had abundance of mercy, someone who someone could go to knowing that they would not be judged quickly, they'd be listened to and understood, cared for with the hope to restore their souls. Are you someone that people just know, you want mercy? Oh, go to that person. Lest we become people who are quick to judge, say what we think because people need to hear it, looking for the very little speck in someone's eye because we can't be bothered getting the log out of our own. We're not like that. When we experience the mercy of God, we cannot help, because we have experienced it, have an abundance of mercy towards someone else. Listen very carefully. To be merciful does not mean we don't have standards. Do you understand? It's just that we don't have to impose them on people like we're their judge and jury. We don't have to be the one that says, but I got to tell them. Because who will? But rather, we are the people who hope to see the restoration of souls because they spend time with us. We are with them and they are humble enough to share with us. And so what we want to see is not their judgment, but their healing and their restoration. Oh, just like God did it to us. And when I came to God as a sinful man, I didn't come thinking God was going to point his finger at me and judge me and destroy me. I came with absolute confidence that God was going to be righteous, convict me of my sin, and find healing of my soul. Because this is God. This is God. Lord, have mercy. And on the flip side of that, I want to encourage us this morning to not only be steadfast in our understanding and acknowledgement of God's mercy that we need, but steadfast in our devotion. In our devotion. In all our plans and all our goals and all our growth and all the places we're going to go and all the things we're going to do, let's remain steadfast in our devotion. Now, call it what you want to call it. Call it your commitment. Call it your holiness. Call it your faithfulness. I actually like the word surrender, because I think surrender for me suggests that it's not about me, it's about him who called me. But for the purpose of this morning, all I'm just saying is this: remain steadfast in your devotion. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. And I'll just finish just with a brief few thoughts on this verse here. Lord, have mercy. I go into this year knowing that I don't want to go in without your mercy, Lord. In everything that happens in all my life, with all my family, with all my friends, with all my work and all my church, and everything that I'm part of in my life, Lord, have mercy upon us. And how good God is, because his mercy endures forever. And I don't know why sometimes we have to remind people I kind of know why, but then sometimes I don't know why. We need to remind people of their need to be steadfast in their devotion. Do you ever wonder that too? Like, why do you have to tell another Christian now, be steadfast in your devotion? Be steadfast in your faithfulness. Do you wonder why sometimes that we need to be reminded so much of our steadfastness in our devotion and our faithfulness and our holiness and our commitment and our surrender? Maybe because we do get very distracted in life. Maybe because we like the glamorous things of the Christian life, not realizing that it's not the glamorous things that we're called to live. It's the commitment and devotion that we have for the Lord. And sometimes we might find ourselves caught up in thinking in some really unusual, unhealthy ways about what Christianity is, what we can and can't do, what we're allowed to do. And we pick and choose things of Scripture that suit us. We come to the Bible really keen to listen to the things that we like to hear and really reluctant to the things we don't. Whereas God is not calling us to a glamorous Christian experience. He's just calling us to devotion. And for the sake of the call that God has called us to, that's what we're here to do. Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And so in Romans chapter 12, Paul has just been talking about how good God is, that he would call them out of mercy. In the end of chapter 11, remember it's a letter, yeah? There's no chapters when he first wrote this, but for our purposes, at the end of chapter 11, Paul is just reminding them, boy, remember the goodness and the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God and how he called you and how merciful he was upon you. So he's just been telling them how good God's been to them. Now imagine being a Christian in Rome at the time when the Roman Empire was quite oppressive. It would have been hard. I can only imagine, without being a historian, I would have only imagined that being a Christian in that place with an empire that really wasn't sympathetic to Christianity, where the politics and the legal protection wouldn't have been there for Christians. And they would have been a minority because they would have been, compared to who lived in Rome at the time, they would have been a very, very much a minority. But I imagine when Paul wrote to them, he would have said to them, I know this is going to be hard. I know it's not going to be glamorous. I know it's going to be tough. And some of you may even be taken places you don't want to go. And he tells them about how good God's mercy is. And then he says to them in verse 1, he says, therefore I beseech you, therefore brethren, I urge you, strongly ask you, by the mercies of God, here it is again, or because of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And he's asking them here is this. You guys would be familiar with what temple sacrifices are. You're Jewish, you understand that. You understand that for many, many years of your life, you take an animal, you bring it into the temple, you sacrifice it for sins and for thanksgiving and all sorts of things. And you bring it and you do this, and this is what you would do year after year, until the high priest came and he ended all sacrifices. Because he became the Lamb of God. He goes, but now I want you to do this. I want you to become a living sacrifice. I want you to be laid down and surrendered, yet alive and living unto God. To be the one that is prepared to say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I come now as a living sacrifice. My devotion to you, Lord God, is daily on the altar that is offered up to you, not physically, but my soul says, I am yours. And Paul says, I beseech you, please, by the mercies of God. Maybe mercies because it was the mercy that allowed you to be in this place. So let's not forget that. And maybe mercy because it's the mercy that actually allows you to do what he's about to ask you to do. Because his mercy endures forever. And I can go into the specifics of what it means to be a living sacrifice, but I think you get it. I think you get it. I think we get it. When our call is to follow Christ, we understand that it's a call to follow him where he wants to take us in faithful obedience and faithful surrender, because this is the calling on our lives. Like a tree with its roots that are deep in the ground, those roots aren't going anywhere. They're solid, man. They're not moving. They're steadfast and fixed. If anything, they're going deeper. And if any of you ever tried to pull out a stump of a tree, it's hard work. But those branches and those leaves, man, they've got to be flexible. They're moving everywhere. They're going with the wind. Branches are breaking. Leaves are falling off, falling and regrowing. And that's going to happen in life. But the steadfast, living sacrifice of the Christian says, I'm not going anywhere. It's going to go deeper and deeper in my steadfast devotion of you, Lord. So, Lord, I'll go into 2026 being steadfast in my understanding that you are merciful, and I'll go into 2026 being steadfast in my devotion to you. In all my plans and all the changes that are going to happen and all the things that I want to do, there are some things that can't change. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. As we come to sing our final song together this morning, as we come to remember and acknowledge that his mercy endures forever. And because of this mercy, God calls us as people who would present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, because this becomes our reasonable service. And it's a delight and an honor to be part of this service unto the Lord. So just for a moment before we sing together, let's remember his mercy upon us. And from this mercy, let's just quietly in our hearts before the Lord declare to him our commitment to be unchanging, unwavering, and immovable in our devotion to him. Father, we are thankful that you are the anchor of our souls. Lord, we are thankful for the year that's passed, and we are hopeful for the year that is ahead because of your great mercies that endure forever. Lord, have mercy on us as we enter this year with all the plans that we have. The people we'll be with, the people we'll see, the people we'll meet, the things we'll do, plans that we have, Lord. Lord, have mercy. And Father, we pray that in all things that we do this year, our hearts are unchanging and immovable in our devotion to you. May your grace be upon us, Father, as we come before your throne. And every time there is a great need or a need, we are trusting and knowing that you are there. So I commit this church to you, every single person that desires to follow you, and for those who are yet to know you, we commit them to you, Father, this year. That your grace and your mercy be upon us all. In Jesus' name. Amen.